بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في قرآنه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين فمن ابتغى وراء ذلك فأولئك هم العادون والذين هم لأماناتهم وعهدهم راعون والذين هم على صلواتهم يحافظون أولئك هم الوارثون الذين يرثون الفردوس هم فيها خالدون All praises and thanks be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is no doubt our sustainer, nourisher, creator and protector. We ask him, the Lord of all worlds, the exalted, the almighty, for his help. We ask him to open doors of beneficial knowledge for all of us. We ask him to shower his choicest of blessings and salutations upon the final messenger, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, I commence by reminding myself and then all of you all present here to bring in a life of taqwa. And that is to be conscious of your Maker, that is to bring awareness in regards to your Maker, in regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you wish to attain success in this world as well as the hereafter, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of taqwa and may He make us from the victorious and successful ones. Ameen. Right now, around you, locally perhaps, internationally, there are many events taking place. There are things that are within our control, and there are things that are beyond our control. Things that we don't have control in regards to. But one thing can be established, and that is, regardless of the circumstances, we can be going through good times, we can be going through bad times. And honestly, our lives are full of tests, trials and challenges. A believer looks at this life full of tests, trials and challenges. And each and every one of us, we are going through our own forms of tests, trials and challenges. We are all fighting our own battles, our own demons. But something that is of surety, in terms of what we have control in regards to, is our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our deen, our beautiful, wholesome and complete religion, has established a way for us to communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for us to put our pleas in front of the Maker, for us to plead unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the court of the Almighty. And that is through a very powerful pillar, which we are all aware of, without a shadow of doubt. And that is the pillar of prayer, the pillar of as-salah. Our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Buniya al-Islam wa ala khams, that Islam has been founded and built upon five pillars. And from those pillars, after the shahadatain, the two testimonies of faith, where you bear witness that there is no deity, after this powerful proclamation, after this powerful declaration, where you declare that there is no deity, there is no God worthy of worship other than Allah, and where you testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger, the pillar right after that, the pillar that becomes mandatory, that becomes obligatory upon you, my dear brother, my dear sister, is the pillar of prayer, as-salah. It is the most beloved deed unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A sahabi asks the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ayul a'mali ahabbu ila Allah, which of the deeds is the most beloved unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the response from the messenger was as-salah, prayer. And we also have studied that from the deeds that you will be questioned about on the day of Qiyamah, salah is the first deed that you will be asked about. And like I said at the inception, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of external situations, as long as you are not in a state where you are out of your mind, then you are exempted. You are unconscious, then you are exempted. You've fallen asleep and you're not aware, you are exempted. But otherwise, you have to offer this salah. Let's say you are on a hospital bed. May Allah save us from sicknesses. May Allah grant us all good health. Ameen. You are on a hospital bed. You can't move. Let's take an individual who is paralyzed hip below, an individual who is paralyzed neck below, but his mind is functioning, his eyes are functioning, he still has to offer salah. He is not exempted from salah. You are a traveler, you still have to offer salah. And there are concessions in place for you to offer your salah. Regardless of the situation, you have to offer your prayer. This is how important a deed, this is how important a pillar this is, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. And this was a deed that was not only prescribed upon the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it has been prescribed upon the nations of the past as well. For example, you have Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he makes dua, Rabbi ja'alni muqim as-salah wa min dhurriyyati rabbana wa taqabbal dua. He makes dua, O Allah, make me and my offspring of those who offer salah, of those who establish prayer. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he said in regards to him and his nation, Allah says, wa awhayna ila Musa wa akhi an tabawwa li qawmika bi misra buyuta waj'alu buyutakum qiblatan wa aqimus salah. The order was given to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and the people of Moses to establish prayer. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he states, and this ayah is in Surah Maryam, waj'alani mubarakan ayna ma kuntu wa awsani bis salah, that Allah had enjoined salah upon Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah says in Surah Al-Imran, فَنَادَتْهُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ يُصَلِّي فِي الْمِحْرَابِ. Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, and the angels called out to him, he was standing, he was in salah, in his mihrab, in his prayer niche. So as you can see, there are ayat that describe that salah is a deed, a powerful deed that is not only prescribed upon the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it was something that was prescribed upon the nations of the past as well. Now, when talking about salah, you have to understand that yes, you have the mechanics of prayer. Mechanics, as in, this is how you're supposed to tie your takbir. This is how you're supposed to go for ruku'. This is how you're supposed to go for sujood. This is what you're supposed to read in the posture of standing, in the posture of ruku', in the posture of sujood. You have the mechanics of prayer. And it is incumbent upon us Muslims to study about the mechanics of prayer. But would it suffice to restrict yourself only to the mechanics of prayer and to be oblivious about the inner dimensions of prayer? No. There needs to be this balance where you study about the mechanics of prayer and then you constantly keep working on the inner dimensions of prayer, the spiritual dimensions of prayer. Would it suffice for you to just stand and mechanically pray up, down, up, down? Would that suffice? Or do you need to work on certain other things as well? And from those other things, I hope to be touching on the essence of it, the essence of prayer. The title for today's sermon is The Essence of Prayer. The essence of it is Al-Khushu'. Al-Khushu'. Something called Khushu' in the Arabic language. Now, if I were to quickly define it, scholars of the past have said that Khushu' of true faith is when the heart is present, when the heart feels aware, when the heart feels humbleness and humility before the greatness, before the grandeur, and before the glory of Allah. The heart is filled with awe. The heart is filled with fear. The heart is filled with shyness. So that the heart is entirely humbled and broken in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As if it were that fear, shyness, love, recognition of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guilt in regards to the sins of that individual have all permeated through the heart. This is khushu', and this is what we need to be feeling when we are in salah. So it will not suffice only to pray. Your heart needs to be present as well. If you take the metaphor, if you take the example of a gift, salah is a gift that you are presenting unto the Lord of all worlds. And khushu' is the presentation of the gift. Now, if you had a gift with a torn wrapper, with a ribbon hanging on one side, with you know, things that were broken inside, would you feel like gifting that gift? Khushu' is what completes the gift as you present it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we wouldn't want to be individuals who are going to stand in the court of Allah on the day of Qiyamah only to have our salah, only to have the prayer that, my dear brother, you strove so hard for. You woke up during the wee hours of the morning, cold water as you performed ablution. You made it to the masjid. You prayed your Salatul Fajr with the Jama'ah, your Salatul Taraweeh with the Jama'ah. Would you like on the day of Qiyamah for those deeds to be thrown back at you on your face? May Allah save us all. May Allah protect us. So don't you think that you need to work on the quality of your salah to enhance the quality of your salah? It is of utmost importance. And that is what I hope to be touching on today, inshaAllah ta'ala. The Prophet ﷺ, in describing about salah, when talking about salah, he described salah as the coolness of his eyes. جُعِلَتْ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ. He talks about the coolness of his eyes in salah. Which type of salah? The salah that is filled with khushu'. He would tell Bilal radiallahu anhu, Ya Bilal, arihna bis salah. Grant us respite through salah. You know, the way we think, it's the other way around. We think of salah as a burden. We want to get it over and done. And then we want to indulge in other things. But the Prophet would take a break from worldly cycles and come to salah as the break. Arihna bis salah. Give us a break. Refresh us through salah by calling out the prayer. Call us for prayer, Ya Bilal. What type of a prayer? A prayer filled with khushu'. Allah says in the Quran, Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. That indeed prayer prevents you. It serves as a barrier to protect you from immorality, from evil doing. What kind of a salah? Now you might be wondering, but I'm praying salah. I'm in the masjid 5 times a day, but how come my heart feels inclined towards evil? How come lustful thoughts are penetrating into my heart? How come I look at the opposite gender like a predator, like a carnivore? You might be wondering, how come I can't stay away from haram despite coming and praying in the masjid? How come I cannot give up? How come I cannot stay away from certain addictions that are harmful? So, salah will only serve as a barrier. It will only protect you, my dear brother, if it is filled with khushu'. So this is something that we need to work on. When the Prophet ﷺ would pray, the Sahaba, they would hear this bubbling, hissing noise coming from the blessed chest of the Prophet ﷺ. Almost like if you keep a pot of water to boil, a cauldron of water to boil, you would hear this bubbly noise of water, the hissing noise of water. It would come from the chest of the Prophet ﷺ as he would become emotional in prayer, as he would reflect on the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar radiallahu anhu, when he would lead the prayer, at times the congregation would not be able to to listen or hear the recitation of the Quran, because Umar radiallahu anhu would be moved to weeping intensely and heavily, reflecting on the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now very swiftly, my dear brothers in Islam, I'd like to touch on a few guidelines in terms of working on our khushu' and improving the quality of our salah. Now you might be wondering, why is this so important? Why do we have to, you know, discuss this? Why do we have to work on all of this? The ayat that I recited at the beginning, Allah talks about the mu'minun, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The believers, they are those who have attained victory and success. Who are they? الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. They are those, if I were to loosely translate it, their salah is filled with khushu'. And then again, later on Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. They are those who guard their prayer. So as you can see, your salah needs to be guarded. There are many forces of evil out there. Shaitan is out there. Many forces of evil out there trying to disturb you. You might notice, as you tie your takbir, all kinds of thoughts flood your head. All kinds of thoughts. And you feel that you've lost your concentration. You're thinking about the past. You're thinking about the future. You're thinking about your sources of income. You're thinking about your family. You're thinking about everything. Because Shaitan seizes it as an opportunity to distract you. So, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. It is a process. You constantly... Just imagine, if you were given the task of guarding something valuable, when there are forces of evil, robbers trying to jump into the fortress and steal that valuable thing, would you not be vigilant? Would you not be very careful? Would you not be aware and awake? This is how you need to be with your salah. As Allah says, they are those who safeguard their salah. They are those who protect their salah. So a few steps very quickly. Number one, this process begins outside of salah. Even before you get into salah, it begins actually outside of salah. It hurts us that we're not able to focus in our prayers. But you should remember that the more you focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala outside your salah, the easier it will be to focus on Him inside your salah. So therefore, work on filling your mind and your heart with Allah, with Allah, with Allah, as much as you can throughout the day. Talk to Him, make a dua unto Him, plead. Constantly work on reminding yourself about Allah. This will build your personal relationship with Allah. Then when you turn to salah, when you go to salah, it will be like coming home to an old friend. So this process actually begins outside of salah, even before you get into salah. Step number two, knowledge. Our deen is a knowledge-based religion. You cannot practice the deen without knowledge. You need to learn about the mechanics of prayer. You need to learn about the inner dimensions of prayer. You need to learn how to soften your heart. You need to learn Suratul Fatiha. You need to learn the meanings of Suratul Fatiha. You need to learn the inner and deeper meanings of Suratul Fatiha, otherwise known as the tafsir. Only then can you stand a chance to improve the level of your salah. With ignorance, you're going nowhere. You are in darkness. You are in darkness. May Allah save us all. Allah talks about the people who are filled with khushu'. In the Quran, Allah says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. The ulama are the ones who fear Allah, are the only ones who fear Allah. Allah. But look at the restriction. إِنَّمَا is used for restriction. The ulama, and when you say ulama, you can define that as the people of knowledge. So you have your scholars, and even you can come under that category if you are seeking knowledge. Only the ones with knowledge fear Allah. Without knowledge, you cannot fear Allah. You cannot be aware of Allah. You cannot be aware of your Maker. You need to seek knowledge, my dear brothers in Islam. Number three, punctuality. You see, salah is such a powerful deed that it brings in punctuality in your life. And this needs to permeate even outside of salah, where you value your time, you value the time of others. Once you're punctual, once you come on time, and honestly, you need to come in early, perform your ablution, come and sit, repeat after the muadzin, pray your sunnah prayers, the nafil prayers, before the actual prayers, you are getting yourself into the groove. Now compare that to the individual who is late. who comes rushing last minute, parks the car haphazardly, throws his shoes somewhere, rushes in, it's crowded, he finds it difficult to make his ablution, just splashes water all over the place, half of his limbs are not washed properly, and then he comes running because the imam is in the last rak'ah, he wants to try and catch the prayer. He is breaking so many guidelines and instructions set by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then in that groove, where do you think his mind is going to be? Do you think it's going to be in salah or outside of salah? So you need to work on preparing yourself for salah to enhance the quality of your salah. You need to come in dressed beautifully, adorn yourself. Ask yourself, if a president of a country were to invite you tomorrow, how would you go dressed to meet him? Would you go in your pajamas? Would you go in your casual nightwear to meet the president of a country? Would you go to meet some worldly ruler as such? No. You would take out your best suit because you know you're going to be featured on the papers and whatnot. You'll go in dressed so well, you'll want to be presentable. And here you are, standing in front of the Lord of all worlds, the King of Kings, Maliki Yawmiddin, and you stand haphazardly, you know, not adorning yourself, not beautifying yourself. So how do you expect to make your heart present? How do you expect to bring your heart to be present at that point? So we need to prepare ourselves for salah. We need to, when we are making our way to the masjid, contemplate on the fact that every step of the way you're being rewarded, subhanallah. You're coming in your vehicle, the gas that you burn, the fuel that you burn, the wear and tear on your tires, for every little aspect you're being rewarded by Allah. If you are coming with the right intentions, subhanallah, you are amassing rewards, massive rewards, colossal rewards that you are going to see when you stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next step, my dear brothers in Islam, is that you need to be mindful in salah. You see, contemporary psychologists, they use a very simple technique called mindfulness-based cognitive therapy to help people stay focused in the present moment rather than being engrossed in foggy thoughts of past or future whilst losing touch with reality. So in salah, it's a constant reprogramming and a recalibration of your thoughts to pull your thoughts to the present. Don't be lost in the past or stuck in the past. Don't be in fear and in obsessive thoughts about the future, because at the end of the day, you don't know what the future holds for you. Yes, you can plan for it and you can work towards a brighter future, but there's no point in brooding and moaning and being depressed about the future when you don't have much control or much knowledge about the future. But the present, that is with you right now. For example, the choice that you can make right now to just let your mind wander, think about your business, think about what you're going to do after Jum'ah, or to focus on every word that is coming out of my mouth. Because these are not my words, these are the words of Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's a choice that you're making now. You can choose to go to sleep. You can choose to think about what your wife has made home for lunch. You can choose to think what you're going to do at office later on. You can choose to think about the weekend, about the holiday, about the vacation that you planned the coming week perhaps. You can choose to think of all of that. But you have control over your thoughts right now to choose to be present. And that's what we're supposed to do, even in salah. And you have to understand, my dear brothers in Islam, it's a work in progress. Just like iman, our khushu goes up and down. The iman of the angels are fixed. The iman of the prophets keep on increasing. But your iman, your khushu, my khushu, there's this up and down like an equalizer. So whenever we hit the lows, we need to work towards taking it to a high again, to peak. And whenever we go down, we need to work on it again. So you are going to experience lows and peaks. It's part and parcel of the process. But you need to constantly keep working on enhancing the quality of the khushu. And for every second, every minute that you spend in that regard, you're going to be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need to understand, the next step is to understand. There's no point in just tying the takbir and reading Suratul Fatiha just like a parrot does, just paying lip service to Suratul Fatiha. Spend a little time to try and find out the meanings of Suratul Fatiha. Spend a couple of months to study the tafsir of Suratul Fatiha. Spend a few months to work on the recitation of Suratul Fatiha. You should know that if you are reading Suratul Fatiha wrong, without adhering to the proper rules of tajweed, it's going to render your salah invalid. Then what is the point of praying, my dear brothers? What is the point? Think about it. You're carrying a bucket to go and fill water. The bucket is full of holes. What's the point? a tiresome process. You're walking back and forth and no water in the bucket because there are holes in the bucket. It's just going to take you a couple of months to improve on your recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha, to contemplate on the meanings of Surah Al-Fatiha, to study the tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha. So we need to spend time doing this, because when we do that, we can relate to the meanings better. When the Prophet would pray, he would contemplate. When Allah describes Jannah, he would pray for Jannah. When Allah describes Jahannam, he would seek the protection of Allah from Jahannam. How can you do that without studying the meanings and knowing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in those ayat? So we need to work on that, my dear brothers in Islam. The next step is to visualize. You need to visualize that you are standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, pray as if you can see Allah. You should know that you cannot see Allah. Even though you cannot see Allah, Allah sees you. So visualize that you are standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're not standing in front of anybody else, in front of Allah. Visualize the fact that this could be. And that is the last reminder. With that, I'll conclude. And just before that, maintain a good pace. Don't rush your salah. Once there was a man, hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. He comes, he prays and then greets the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet says, go back and pray, for you have not prayed. He goes and prays and comes back and greets the Prophet. The Prophet says, go back and pray, for you have not prayed. This happens 3 times. And then finally, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells the man to pray at ease. When you stand for, in other words, don't pray in a rush. Don't pray like a hen pecking on the ground. Pray with ease. When you are in ruku, stand, you know, go into ease in ruku, go into ease in sujood, spend time in these postures. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, the worst of thieves are those who steal from their prayers. Then the Sahaba asked the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, how can a person steal from their prayers? The Prophet ﷺ then educates them by saying, they do not complete the ruku properly. They do not complete the sujood properly. They do not complete all these postures properly. The most miserly of people are those who are miserly with the greeting of peace. And then he went on to conclude that hadith, my dear brothers in Islam. The last reminder, or the last step in regards to guidelines, is for you to reflect on the inevitable reality that this salah could be your last salah. Is that not the truth? This Jum'ah could be your last Jum'ah. I'm not talking about 2019. Your life. What guarantee do we have that we will reach home? For those of you living in this vicinity, do you know? Can you assure, and can you say for sure, you know what, maybe for Asr, it'll be me with life coming to the masjid, or my janazah coming to be buried at this burial grounds. You could be brought as a janazah. Is that not a reality? The Prophet tells us that when you say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, you don't have a guarantee that you will say the next salam. This is how futile, and you know, honestly, when you reflect on this, your millions, your expensive vehicles, your cars, your assets, everything fades away. Because the next minute, it can be plucked away, you can leave all of it and you will have to go. Allahu Akbar, kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. So when you reflect on this, it helps you enhance and up the quality of your salah. Ya Allah, this could be my last salah. Just imagine if Malakul Maut were to come to you now and tell you, brother, this salah that you are going to pray, your Jum'ah, is the last prayer for you on the face of this earth. Ask yourself how you will pray Salatul Jum'ah. So reflect on that. I leave you with those words. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to improve the quality of our salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us as a nation. May Allah ease the sufferings of the Muslim Ummah. We see the Muslim Ummah suffering in different parts of the world. Ya Allah, we turn to you because you are all powerful. Ease our sufferings, ease our difficulties, and the ones who are being put through difficulty, reward them with lofty ranks in Jannah and fill their hearts with patience, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us of our sins and accept our good deeds. And just as how you united us here in this masjid, unite us in the beautiful gardens of Jannah with our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen, ameen, wa akhir da'wa.